So good morning. How is everyone today? Good? All right. So normally Craig would be speaking today, but I'm really happy Craig didn't have to do sermon prep this week because we got to enjoy time with his family and, you know, want to make sure our pastor's taken care of, right? All right, so sorry, because I'm going to be here now, so look at that. So before I go into the sermon, this is Lauren and I's. It's actually like our first year to here, like January to December. And it's been great. This has been like a dream come true. And I'm not exaggerating. This is a dream come true for us. And, you know, we just want to say thank you so much to the people who, all the kind words you've had for us. And this last week, it's been crazy enough. Like, just the things people told, like, you know, people giving us cars, people giving us gifts. And we just want to say thank you so much for all that. So, now moving along. So, as I've gotten older, it sounds ridiculous saying that, mid-20s, just so you know, mid-20s, I've noticed that my body doesn't quite function like it used to. For example, don't scare me, Jen. For example, I'm nowhere near as flexible as I used to be. Like, it's not going that far. Whenever I leave the house, I always check the weather because I'm not going to risk catching a cold at all. Like, no, none of that. And I find that I need a nap a little more often, too. And, you know, maybe Sunday afternoon, we all like that. But there is one thing that has, like, changed, like, incredibly, and it's that my memory does not work like it used to. So Florin and I are at home, and she says, "Hey, Steve, can you... when you run out, can you grab a bag of milk, or can you make sure that you tell so-and-so thank you for this and that?" Like, it's not going to happen if I don't write it down. Like, I can't tell you the amount of disappointing times I said, "No, honey, I forgot that." And it's kind of cool, though, because I've actually had to find some things that are going to help me. So I got a notepad on my phone, and that's helpful. And one of my favorite tools on my phone, now who's like me where they can't find where the keys are placed? So, there's an app for that. Press the button on your keys, and it rings. So now, I don't have that problem anymore where I lose my stuff. Okay, that's enough out of you. Okay. And the same thing happens. I can have my phone call my keys, have my keys call my phone. It's amazing. I've needed a tool like this my whole life. You don't even understand. I love this tool because it helps my memory when my memory is weak. And it's ridiculous how much time I actually spend looking for, you know, keys or my wallet or my cell phone. The amount of time I waste when these things are like 10 feet from me, it's crazy. So today, this is a tool that helps my brain remember things. It saves me time. Today we're going to be looking at Psalm 103, and we're going to be looking at this discipline of remembering. So in the same way that this tool saves me time, because I don't waste time around the house now, we're going to see how exercising the ability to remember, it actually, remembering the things that God has done and who he is, it actually blesses us. So let's talk about it first, the discipline of remembering. It is a biblical practice. There are many times in the Bible where God tells his people to remember. We look at Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And it says, I'm going to just paraphrase this for you. It says, remember the commandments I've given you. Remember, put them on, paint them on your fences, write them on your head. When your kids wake up, you know, when you wake up, talk about them. Before you go to bed, talk about them. Do everything you can to remember the commandments I've given you. And this passage, these things are flooded all over the Bible. When the Israelites crossed over, not the Red Sea, but in Joshua, when they crossed the lake, Joshua told them, take some stones, put it in the middle of the lake. And when you come crossing by there, when your kids come by and see this, they're going to ask, what are these stones here for? And you tell them, this is when the Lord your God delivered you. So this idea of remember is all through the Bible. It's everywhere. And now, today we're at Psalm 103, and we look at this concept of remember. So I'm just going to go ahead and read Psalm 103. And by the way, Psalm 103, that song we just sang, Bless the Lord, 10,000 Reasons, This psalm, or I should say that song, is based off of this passage. I had no idea when I found out. It just blew my mind. So I'm just going to get some water because, as you could probably hear, I'm thirsty and I need it. But I'm just going to go ahead and read this passage for you. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows that we are formed, how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. And his righteousness is like their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, you heavenly hosts, you servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in this dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. It's an amazing psalm. And we look through this psalm, and there's two things we take note of. One thing is that David is super passionate about God. And the second thing is that this whole psalm is declaring God's goodness and his good works, his deeds, all those things that he's done for us. Those are the two things we look at when we see this psalm. And the second thing that we take note of, in the beginning of the psalm, he just says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, worship his name. It starts like that, nice and calm. Maybe not calm, I never heard him actually sing it, but it looks like it's calm. But at the end of the psalm, did you hear that? It's praise him, you angels, praise him, everyone, praise him for his works, everyone, praise him. What happened in the beginning, or in the middle? Because we know in the beginning it's tame, and we know in the end it is, you can't contain this. What happened in the middle that made him go from this part, this quietness, to this part where he can't contain everything? What happened? Let's take a look at what happens in between. So if we look here in verses 1 and 2, he starts off, do not forget his benefits. Do not forget. Remember, he forgives your sins. Remember, he saves you and redeems your life from the pit. And then, we can kind of group things that happens next. In verses 6 through 8, David reflects and remembers the blessing that God's given him in his past. Not just him, but also his ancestors, like all of Israel. We look through verses 8 through 13, and we notice that he reflects on his own personal experiences. So not just his ancestors now, but his own experiences. As a father has compassion on his son, God has compassion on us. Verses 14 through 16, he remembers that he's just a human. He's a mere human, fragile. He says that we're like flowers in the field, and one day we're here, the next day we're gone, and the ground doesn't even remember us after that. He reflects on just the simpleness of man. And then lastly, he remembers God's promises. Surely you'll be good to us. All these things that God has promised him for the future. So he starts off tame and ends powerfully, and all that stuff in the middle is the things he remembered of God. We look in this passage and see that remembering builds our praise for God. I'm going to look at some modern day example of remembering, and it's pretty cool. I came across this on the internet this week, just in time. This week I was looking at an article, and it was posted by one of my old pastors, and he said, you know, gotta read this, clicked on it, and it was the story of a husband who wanted to get his wife, like, the best Christmas gift ever. So a year before Christmas, he decides, I'm gonna make a journal. Every day I'm gonna write something nice, I'm gonna catch my wife doing something nice, record it, and at the end of the year I'm gonna give this to her. For 365 days, these are the good things, you know, I've seen you do, you know, that time when you thought about me when you're busy or you were sick and you still tuck the kids in, all these things like that. So he writes this book, and at the end of the year, he gives it to his wife, and she was so touched by it. But he said this in his own words, that as much as this gift was for his wife, he was the one who was truly blessed by it, because he had never been in more love with his wife, because he just kept remembering how good she is. It's funny that the gift was for her, but he was the one who was actually given the gift. So we see here the power of remembering. Like, there's tremendous benefits. I would say the spiritual discipline of remembering has its tremendous benefits. So we know it's good. We know it's important. But just because something's important doesn't mean we do it. For example, eating healthy, exercising is healthy, but we don't always do it. So I'm just going to spell it out to you. Not only is this important, you need it. Okay, this is something that we just need it, okay? Like, just, you know, it's not like, okay, well, you know, it's good to have, it's nice, but this is something we 100% need. There's a couple reasons. The first thing, if we do not practice the discipline of remember, we will forget. How many birthdays have you forgotten just because you didn't choose to remember? For me, it's just, oh, okay, whatever. If it wasn't for Facebook telling me when someone's birthday was, I don't know. But if you look in Judges chapter 2, there is, if you never read the book of Judges, Judges is an incredible book. It's filled with, you just see God's continual love for people who make error. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it. I think it's up here. Judges chapter 2, verses 10. So this is what happens. This is just an account of what has happened with the Israelites and what they're about to do. So starting at verse 10. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, after they passed away, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor had what he had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsaken the Lord and the God of their ancestors who brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods and the people around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because he had forsaken them, and served the God of his Baals. So we look at this, and the key word is that they chose not to remember. I put it in bold there. They didn't remember the things. They chose not to, and they forgot, and they ended up going in some other direction. See, it would be like every, like, 40 years, like, so every generation, about 40 years of lifespan in that day, it's just about every 40 years, what happened is that the Israelites, they would have a period of goodness where they would actually follow God, listen to and remember what he had told them, and they would actually prosper, and then there were times where they didn't, and they didn't. They just declined. And when they declined, like, they're, you know, economically, they started falling apart. Military-wise, they started falling apart. And politically, things were just crumbling. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't choose to remember, you're going to be taken over by another country. But if we choose not to remember the things that God has done for us, we choose to ignore the things he has done for us, it's more likely that we might be taken over by some kind of idol in our life. We might give something else God's devotion. So if we do not remember, we will forget. This is an important practice that we need to adopt. A second reason why we need to remember is that there will not always be good times in our life. Now, I'm pretty sure that we've been sad, hurt, broken, and kind of wondering, where is God in my chaos? I think that's something we can all relate to. Excuse me. Now, I don't know why God does the things he does. I do know he's all loving, though. I could put my stamp on that. But sometimes it's actually, I think that God gives us this discipline of remembering, so when we go through hard times, they will be a little bit easier. I really, really believe that. I don't have a one story in my life where I remembered God and everything just became rosy. But there are many times when I go to God, I find that I don't struggle. It's like I'm going through my anxiety, I'm going through my worry, I'm going through sadness, or I'm going through temptation. And I turn myself to God. Remember the good things he has done, Steve. Remember when you were out of hope and he found you that thing you needed. And it just goes away. You know, the problem isn't fixed. You're still in a bad place, but you feel better. You can manage yourself a lot easier. So I believe that remembering, it makes the hard times easier. And, you know, you look in the Psalms, and, like, everywhere, it's people saying, okay, well, God, this stinks. You know, I'm in trouble. Please help me. Okay, God, you saved me. It's like, okay, God, I got to remember that. Or sometimes it's like, I'm in trouble, but I'm going to reflect on the good things you've done. And at the end of it, it's just like, okay, I'm happy. I have peace. It makes the hard times easier. The third or the fourth reason, adopting the discipline of remembering, it builds our faith and relationship with God. So I don't think there's anyone in this room who, you know, wouldn't really want to have a stronger relationship with God. There might be, that's fine. But when we recognize over a period of time that God is our provider, God is our protector, he's our joy giver, our peacemaker, our problem solver, when we keep remembering he does all these things, who are you going to start turning to when you have need, when you're scared, when you're sad, when you have problems? You turn to God. It builds a good routine in your life. And lastly, I'm going to go with the most important reason why we need to practice remembering in our lives. The last and most important reason is that we remember God and the things of God because he remembers us. There was a time in the Old Testament when Israel, God's own child, they were really, really, like, as bad gets, they were, and I don't, like, disgusting. Took on some of, like, the surrounding nations' practices, and just horrible. Child sacrifice, like, things like that. I'm telling you, they're evil. And God's calling them back. He's calling them back to this relationship, this peaceful, harmony-like relationship with them. In Isaiah, he tells them, he says, you know, can a mother forget the child who she nursed? No, in the same way, I won't forget you. And then he says, you know, and some translations say, it's like, see, I've engraved your names on the palm of my hands. Like, this is the God who worships, the God who doesn't forget, the God who remembers. And it's the difference thing here is that God loves us, so he remembers us. And we're in a place, we're designed where we actually need to take on practices like this because unlike God who can love so he remembers, sometimes we remember so we can love. See, we're actually designed in a way that we will forget God. We're not designed that we would remember everything, and that's why we adopt the practices of remember. And there's so many other spiritual disciplines, too, that we adopt. Today, we're just remember. But this is the God we worship. So with that said, how do we do it? So when I was in seminary, we had to pick one of the spiritual disciplines and practice it over the semester, then make a journal. And I actually picked the discipline of remember, and it was amazing. So I journaled once every 2 to 3 days, And then I would come back to my entries. And even today, I actually go back to my entries like a year ago, every so often, and check out, okay, well, man, I was really bad then, or I need help. Or, God, you really got me through that. Or that problem I was struggling with a year ago, like, oh, like, that's, I forgot about how you fixed that. I forgot about forgetting. So, for me, journaling, and maybe journaling isn't for everyone, that's okay. But it is important, like, that's just one of the tools that I use to remember. If you're a slow reader, like, a slow writer like me, I just can't actually write, like, that fast. I think so much faster than I can write. So I actually use online journaling, a website called Penzu. Check it out, password protected, safe. As much as I know, with internet security. But yeah, check that out. A second thing, and I've told you this before, is that something else I do, is I was taught at the busiest time of my day, which is usually about 3 p.m., you know, when I was in school, and it's usually about 3 p.m. At 3 p.m., I set a silent alarm on my phone, and it would go off, and I would take 1 minute, 3 o'clock to 3:01, and I would just thank God for all the things he has done for me. And that's something we can all do. If you don't like journaling, we can actually just 3 o'clock, you know, we know, okay, we'll take 1 minute, just set it aside, and remember God. Because here's the thing, the world is always going to be telling us, you got to provide for yourself, you got to be strong, you're the one in charge. But when we take the practice just to say, okay, 1 minute of the day, I'm going to do this. What you're doing is you're saying, no, God, thank you, because you're the one who gives me all these good things. Thank you that, you know, my car started this morning. Thank you that I thought it was going to be late, and I wasn't late. It reorients us to recognizing that God is our provider and not ourselves. And you know what? Right now we're in a sweet spot because it's December 31st. We have a lot to reflect on. We've had a really, really good year. I'm just going to invite the worship team back up. So with this said, these are the things I want to encourage you to do. Remember the God who remembers us. And we're going to enter into a time of worship. I asked Jen just to read this passage again for us. And we're going to have the music just playing for a little while. And we're just going to, there might be something that says, how have you seen God's kindness in 2017? We're going to open up now, a time for reflection. And, you know, just as David built his praise through reflection, we're going to let you do it. So I'm just going to pray. Jen's going to read. Joanne's going to play. God, I just thank you, Lord. We have so many things to be thankful for. You're the God who forgives us of our sins. You're compassionate towards us. You don't treat us as we deserve. And give us good things. God, lead us now to enter into a time where we could just say thank you. Help us to recognize that all the good things we have come from you. I pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.